Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. This starts on page 1785 of the Pew Bibles. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If a foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if an ear said, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If the whole body, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Before I start, I just have to say one thing to Tom. This service is a little bit more nerve-wracking than last week. Not being ordained was a lot less nerve-wracking than being ordained, which feels weird, but that's the case. I want to bake bread. It's just kind of this weird thing that I have in me. I want to bake bread. There's something about baking bread. It's so nourishing, it's so comfortable, it's so finishing of a meal. Even if the rest of the meal is okay, if you have good bread, it can not fix the meal, but at least give you that something that feels comfortable and nourishing. I want to bake bread. And I've tried in the past before. When I was younger, I tried, but I didn't have the patience for it. I didn't have the room for it. I didn't have the time for it. But since we've moved, I've started trying to bake bread again. I've started trying to work the dough and knead the dough and get it ready and proof it and then shape it and rise it and bake it and provide this wonderful, delicious, warm wholeness. Those who eat from my meals in my kitchen. I've tried, and I'm good in the kitchen. I'm a really good cook. I've been tooting my own horn a lot recently, and it feels weird. But I really am a good cook. I think it was at Thanksgiving that Nora said to these people, "Robbie is a better cook than I am." I am a really good cook. And so I just wanted to complete the package. Good cook. Makes good bread, makes a complete good meal. and I've been baking a lot. And I can tell you that the vast majority of what has come out of my oven is not suitable for public consumption. To everyone that was at Tom and Pam's on Thursday, yes, I know, painfully know, just how meh those rolls were. They were okay, they weren't great. They're not that home-cooked bread that you wish for on Thanksgiving. But I want to bake bread. I can tell you that the bread on the table, it's flatbread, so clearly not within my skill set, but even if it wasn't, it would not be the bread that I baked. Someday I wish that I could bake bread that was good enough to be on the communion table. But today, I am not called to bake the bread that we break to share together. But I am called to lead the communion. We each have different things that we are called to. And I really love this passage from 1 Corinthians because it gives this great image. Now, I think Paul, trying to be that proper Roman thinker that he is, didn't quite go far enough. So as I thought about this, I thought about the uncomfortable parts of the body. How would your body work if you couldn't dispose of your meal? Now, there's some people that don't have to imagine that. There's some people that know what that's like. How does your body work if your bladder doesn't work? How does your body work if your kidneys stop working, or your liver stops working, or your stomach stops working? Or let's go a little bit different. What does your body look like if your sweat glands don't work? What does your body look like if your ears don't work? What does your body look like if your salivary glands don't work? What does your body look like if you're not growing the hair where you need it, or your nails fall off, or all of these things that we don't see? Like, somebody comes up to you and they're missing an arm, you can see that. And we glorify strength and speed and these things, but if what's going on inside isn't working, and I mean, even the parts of the body that we don't want to think about, if I were to start naming them, people are going to get uncomfortable here. If they stop working, how much worse is the body off for it? Because that's the thing. The body is an efficiently designed machine. So even the disgusting parts are absolutely necessary. Now, I'm not saying that any of us is disgusting. I mean, some of us might be disgusting, but but those parts that we just don't want to talk about, some of those are the most necessary. Some of those are absolutely the most necessary. When they go wrong, everything goes wrong. But we like to think about the ones that are in the shadow, and the spotlight, I mean. Ignore the ones that are in the shadows. Ignore the ones that we put our clothes over all the time. We make sure are always covered. Ignore the ones that our skin covers and our muscles cover. Make sure that the ones that can be seen are seen. And they're the important ones. When I was interviewing here, and since I've started here, I've heard this rumbling. Not necessarily explicitly, but this rumbling of wanting to do more. Of wanting to just do. And that's wonderful, that's encouraging. Anyone who says that they want to do more, awesome. But much like the body, the head cannot be the only thing that does. The eyes and the feet cannot be the only thing that does. It is a whole system. I chose this passage for anyone who went to my ordination service. These passages are almost all identical. They're almost all the same passages. The only addition is the gospel passage. Because I wanted this to kind of be a companion to the ordination service, kind of a furtherance of the charge that the congregation is given. Because this isn't a Pastor Robert show. It's not. Even if the light is hitting me right now, this show isn't about me. I am a leader. I am a guide. I should be guiding and teaching. I have a call in this congregation. There is a specific part of this congregation's ministry I am responsible for. And if I fail in that part, the congregation will suffer. And I know that. But there are other ministries of this church. There are other things that people are called to do. And you can say to yourself, well, that's the session's responsibility because they're the eyes and the brain, or that's this group's responsibility because they're the heart, or that's this other group's responsibility. And it's really easy to convince yourself that whatever needs to be done is somebody else's responsibility. And is that a huge problem here? No. But the idea of doing more requires answering the call that God has placed in your life. And not the most attractive call, not the what you think is the proper call, but the actual call that God put in your life. I put something on Twitter the other day. Some of you saw it because it posts to my Facebook page. That went something like this: you must be who God made you, and you must do what God called you to do. Not you must do what the church, be who the church tells you to be, and do what the church tells you to do. Not you must fit a certain image, but you must be who God called you to be, and you must be who God created you to be. Because not everyone is designed to be a specific part of the body. Because we're designed to be all parts of the body. We are not all designed to be the parts that we want to glorify, or the parts that might bring in more people, or the parts that are prettier. But the whole system requires everyone to be who they were created to be. If the kidney tried to act like the heart, we would be in a world of pain. If the foot acted like a hand, we would be stuck. Except with Alex being the feet, then we just don't understand. But we are created specifically for a call in our lives. If this church is to do and to be a light in the community, if this church is to be a unified body requires multiple parts that look multiple different ways and do multiple different things. God has created you in a very specific way. So instead of fighting that or trying to be that church over there or trying to be that church over there, and trying to do the mission that a book or a pamphlet or a training session tells you will bring more people into the church. If grace can just be grace's part of the body of Christ, and the members of this congregation can just be the parts of this body that God has created us to be, we can do the mission that God is calling us to do. That isn't necessarily going to bring any sort of growth that may or may not bring more people into the pews. And if you were hoping that this pastor was going to bring more people into the pews, you voted wrong when I candidated, because I cannot bring people into the pews. That's not who I am. But I can lead, and I can hope that everyone that hears my voice will do what God is calling them to do. to be the part of the body that you were created to be, to fulfill God's call in your life. Not some magical, idealistic call, but the actual call that God has placed in your life. If we do that, then we truly become the body of Christ. And God's will can truly be done. And Christ's love can truly be shared. So just be who God made you to be and answer the call that God has placed in your life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.